Bridgeway, you made it. You're here the last day of 2023. Can you believe it? Yeah. Well, my name is Jared Sorber, and I have the privilege of guiding us through some God stories today. It's become somewhat of a tradition here at Bridgeway on the last Sunday of the year to share about God's faithfulness, what he's done over the past year in the lives of different people from our congregation. And so I'm going to lead us through that in just a minute, but want to thank Dr. Anderson for this opportunity to do that. And want to invite you to come back tonight. Dr. Anderson will be here at 11 p.m. For our praise and worship watch night service. So we'd love to have you all back right here in Columbia at 11 p.m. this evening. Well, today, on the last day, like I said, we want to look back and see what God has done in the lives of a few people in our congregation. But my hope is that you'll be encouraged. You'll be encouraged by the stories you hear, that you'll see God in the way that he moved in different people's lives, and maybe even reflect on your own life and say, God, how have you moved in my life this year? What have you done in my life? I found that life can often get so busy that we'll be moving forward, we'll be moving ahead, we'll be doing the daily things, and we never pause to reflect and to look and see what God has been doing in our lives. So I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. You know, oftentimes our minds, doctors tell us, fill in the gaps for what our eyes see. It's a phenomenon called the perceptual set. And we don't always see everything, but our mind actually kind of fills in the gaps in our views. And I think we do that sometime in our spiritual lives as well, where we're moving through life and we don't take that time to see what God is doing. But perhaps today will be your opportunity to do that. And I want to ask you a question. Do you expect to see God in your life? You know, if we're so busy looking at ourselves, or maybe we're so busy looking at others, sometimes we don't see God. But if we expect to see God, if we're expectant, if we put ourselves in that posture, God is often easier and can be seen more clearly. And so we're going to do that today. But there's an Old Testament character that reminded me of this fact that God can be right before us and we can miss him at times. And his name was Gideon. And I just want to read a verse or two from Judges chapter 6 as we get started this morning. It says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. A messenger from God was sitting there right in front of Gideon. And Gideon said, where is God? I've heard about him in the past. I've heard stories. Other people told me stories. You know, maybe my grandparents told me of the faithfulness of God in the past. But I haven't seen him for myself. And Gideon missed the fact that God was right in front of him in the form of this messenger, this angel from God. Many theologians believe it was God in human form. They say a theophany that was sitting there right in front of him. And Gideon said, where is God? I don't see him. But God says, I see you. You're a mighty man of God. You're a mighty warrior. And so God saw him even though he didn't see God. And so I want to take some time this morning to see God through some of the stories of faithfulness. And so the first guest I'm going to invite up is Vonda Washington. And Vonda, you can start making your way up. And you may have seen Vonda serving in various areas throughout the church. She's served in the community cupboard. She's also served in student ministry. So will you give a nice warm welcome to Vonda. So, Vonda, you've had quite a year, and I know we've talked a little bit about what God's done, but would you share with the congregation some of your story from this past year?
Thank you, Pastor Jared. Good morning, congregation. Technology. Okay. So, my God's story is about hope, healing, faith, and strength. My life situation changed when I received my results from my annual mammogram. I was told I had stage 2 breast cancer and I would need a mastectomy. This news was given to me when I received, This news was given to me as I was traveling to Virginia for my aunt's funeral service. At that time, I was devastated and hurt over the news about my results. I decided not to share the news with my family until after the service to honor my aunt's passing. This also reminded me when I was first diagnosed with breast cancer back in May 2005, just 18 years ago as a survivor. Also in May 2023, our family had gotten notice that our lease was not going to be renewed, so we had to look for another place to live. So funeral, breast cancer, mastectomy, and another place to live was the beginning of my God story. The outcome of this, and to trust and have faith to believe that God was going to work things out for me and my family. We were able to move to another place. Instead of stage 2 breast cancer, it was stage 1. Only 4 total chemo treatments along with shots to endure was a relief and a blessing. God is the reason why I remain strong and not give up hope. I am not defined by my past pain. I am defined by my resilience of my spirit and capacity of my heart to heal and love once more. God's strength, grace, and power are more enough to rescue me when I reach the end of my rope. God reminded me, 2 Corinthians 12:10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I also meditated on Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I am learning that everything takes time to heal and to be still. The broader focus of my life during this time is to take care of my health, replenish my strength with the help of the Lord. I am learning to increase my faith and trust in the Lord. I stand here because I am cancer-free, healed, alive, and grateful. Thank you for allowing me to share my story that God is still writing and using me as his vessel. God is in control. Thank you.
Thank you, Vonda, for sharing. We praise God with you that you're cancer-free. But I'm sure there were times along this journey where you were maybe overwhelmed, and maybe didn't see yourself standing here today cancer-free. What would you give as maybe a word of encouragement to someone out there who's in that place now, maybe a place of challenge, a place where they don't see the other side?
For me, it's just believing in God and knowing that he is a healer, he is a miracle worker, and he's a deliverer. And his promises are yes and amen. So you have to keep trusting in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and acknowledge his ways. This is not my plan for my life, but he knows my life because he gave me life. So don't give up hope. Lean into God and let him use you as he wants to use you, because you are his vessel. And we all have a story. So let's share our story so that everybody knows that God is still in control.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Vonda, for sharing with us. Can we give Vonda a nice round of applause and thank you for sharing? Wonderful to see how God touched and healed Vonda's life. Our next testimony is from Pastor Dave Michener. And many of you know Pastor Michener, who had served at Bridgeway for many years and most recently served as our campus pastor, serving as our campus pastor at our Owings Mills, Reisterstown location. And God's done quite a work in his life over this last year, and he wanted to share it with you, and he was very excited to do so. So take a look at the screens, and you'll hear from Pastor Dave Michener.
Let's see, where do you start with a God story when God, you know God, has always been with you? Do you start here? Do you start here? Do you start here? But let me just begin by saying that I wouldn't be here if it weren't for the grace of God and the healing power of God. I've been told on several occasions by medical professionals I shouldn't be alive, but God knew differently. And so I want to give him all the glory, all the spotlight. He's got more for me to do. He's got more for me to be. And so I just want to start by saying all glory to God. Let me just back up a minute. 2022, I was all set to have some ankle surgery, ankle fusion surgery. You know, my soccer playing days from way back in the day, and then the ones that were probably too recent, and the hiking and whatnot, all caught up to me, and it was time to clean up my ankle, fuse it together, and I asked God to heal me from this. I thought, okay, God, I know you can heal. I know I've done what you've told me to do. And then I began to realize that God was not going to heal me through an event, but rather he was going to take me on a process and on a journey. And so that journey led me to go meet with, you know, orthopedic surgeons and schedule surgery, you know, to have my ankle fixed up. That surgery was scheduled and it got rescheduled. Then it got rescheduled again. So in April, it was time to do all the pre-op stuff. And so I had to see this doctor. And I went to my primary care physician, and lo and behold, the poor guy had had a medical emergency of his own and was out on medical leave. So in order for them to fill out the paperwork, I had to see his partner in his practice. And I'd never seen her before, and she didn't know me. And she's saying to me, I cannot sign off on your paperwork until you see a cardiologist. And he went and checked me out, and he said, I can't move forward in good conscience without a stress test and an echo. And so I said, all right, he goes, let me see what I can do. And he came back just minutes later and said, my staff said they'll come in on their lunch hour and squeeze you in. And so I said, all right. And so I came back the next week, and now the clock is ticking, getting close to my surgery date. And then he's like, you know, it's probably nothing, but I really can't sign off on this unless you have a heart catheterization. And I said, sign me up. Just 5 days before my ankle surgery, I was going in for a heart cath, which was probably not going to be anything. And when I went in, you know, they tell you to pack a bag just in case they have to fix something up because you might need to stay overnight. And sure enough, I had two blockages and had some stents put in. And of course, my surgery was delayed again. In fact, the doctor came out and said to my wife, said to Donna, if he would have had his ankle surgery, I'm 100% sure he would have died on the table. Fast forward into September, and I'm completing all this cardiac rehab, 36 sessions, and they're like, it's time for your stress test and echo so we can get that ankle surgery for you again. And so here I go. I go in, and the cardiologist says to me, are you feeling okay? I go, yeah, I do this all the time at cardiac rehab. He's like, okay. And he and the nurse are like whispering. That's never good, right? And he says, okay, you can stop. Your valve is not working. Yeah, we fixed the other issue. I said, what do you mean my valve's not working? You told me my valve was fine 5 months ago. He says, well, it's not fine anymore. It's not working. And that's when I found out in late September, I got to have open heart surgery. And I was like, God, what are you doing? You know, I don't understand this. You know, I just asked you to heal my ankle, and then I'm realizing it's my ankle issue that he has used to save my life. Not once, but twice. And like I said, you know, we're all going through something, but I also take comfort and have peace and calm in the fact of knowing that even though we're all going through something, that God is always up to something, even when it doesn't seem like it. And God was very much at work for me, because when I went in for this minimally invasive procedure, they said there's one test we got to do before that. And so they did this test and met with me like 2 hours later and said, you're not going to be able to have this procedure because we found a large aortic aneurysm in addition to you needing an aortic valve replacement. So on my dad's birthday, October 18th, I went in for open heart surgery, and it was a BOGO. It was buy one, get one free. They fixed the aneurysm and they fixed the valve and replaced that. 5 days in the ICU, then 12 hours in a step-down unit, and then boom, I was home. So it's been a journey to be home. You know, I wanted an event. I wanted God to go, look at this, boom, and I'll have a testimony for the instantaneous healing. And God's like, nope. He goes, I want you to get closer to me. I just want to be with you. Because when you're healing from something like this, I found out that there's really nothing I can do to speed it up. And God is bringing me back, and I'm super excited to be able to return to my ministry post in the new year. I think January 2024 is going to just be a turning of the page for me, and probably for you as well. I want to thank all of you who have reached out to me, texted me, have said, hey, I don't want to bother you, but hey, it wasn't a bother through those text messages and cards and phone calls. Wow, what a difference that made. And I want to say thank you. I'm alive and grateful. It's great to be alive, and I'm really glad that God is always up to something.
Isn't it amazing how God works and uses something like an ankle surgery to save Pastor Mitch's life? Praise God. Thank you. I know I've been praying, and I know many of you have been praying for him, and got to sit and have lunch with him a week or two ago, and he's just so grateful for life, but he's so grateful for you and your prayers. Keep praying for him, and I'm sure you'll see him soon in the new year. But praise God for the healing work that he does. Well, I'm joined now by Dr. Chun Shin Taylor. And Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for being with us. I know God's done a work in your life this year. Would you share with our congregation some of what God's been doing?
Yes. Hello, everyone. How old are you this year? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I do not know. But I want to tell you how old I am. I'm actually turned 50 this year. Thank you. So I joined 50 plus your ministry. I helped out. In my culture, a lot of countries, you know, under Confucianism, knows that 50 years old means a time to know what's your purpose, what's God's purpose, what's heaven's purpose in you. And my 50 year actually started out with a lot of doubt and questions about that. Because I always believed I knew what God wants me to do, even at like young age. When I come to the state, that's I was 25. I really cling to the Bible, 2 Corinthians verse 3. You know, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all affliction, so that we can comfort other people in any confliction. That was really like the Bible verse that I really clung to, and then I came to the United States with, you know, minimum resource that I have, and I made it through my life 25 years, because now, you know, 50. But I always knew like what I wanted to do, what I need to do for God. Like, he wants me to work with the couples. I really wanted me to work with the couples, so I did it. But somehow I couldn't really get a job in the beginning after I finished my school. I still work with people with a severe mental illness. But in the beginning, I really didn't like it. I didn't want to work with, you know, rehab counseling. I didn't want to hear all this crazy, you know, stories about me being a prince in England. You know, like, I didn't want to do it. But that's the place that God really, like, pushed me through. I didn't really know. But in my will, I was really pushing me, like I wanted to work with the couples, families, you know. But then last year, just similar to Pastor Mitchell, 22, I experienced actually severe mental illness. I didn't know, well, I knew mentally, intellectually, because that's what I do, you know, like I knew what was going on, but it was really, really hard for me to work through it. Main reason, in the midst of my suffering, I guess, struggling with this mental illness, it was really about the God, my connection with God, my understanding. It was all challenged. I couldn't listen to all the, you know, hymns or the 95.1. I couldn't open my Bible because they are all becoming triggers. I couldn't really do much of it. But thankfully, really, God gave me a second chance. He really gave me a second life because I could have died. I could have killed myself. Who knows? You know, I was in a very, very critical moment, and I was able to reach out because that's what I, you know, tell my clients, go get help when you get really in a critical moment like that. Even though my recovery was relatively fast, I was like one of those 20% of people who get almost immediate response. I'm so grateful for that. Mentally, intellectually, I did do a lot of reading, a lot of research, trying to figure out what is my biological factor, you know, my social factor, developmental factor, like all of it. It made sense to me. But the core part of me, the spiritual, my connection with God was so challenged in a sense. And I couldn't, again, I couldn't listen, I couldn't read, and I couldn't really engage in conversation with him because I was in such a shock. You know, I was kind of lost. But this 23, as New Year coming along, I was thinking about my purpose, you know, all that. And God started to show me a little bit more of that confirmation. He helped me to open up a little bit more. This is another chance for me opening up. All affliction, right? It was not only just one, this area that I really wanted to do. God still wanted me to do, I believe, because he was opening the door for me to be more specialized in working with couples, like betrayed partners of sex addiction. That's one of my passion. You know, the sex therapy, sexual intimacy itself is another the passion that he led me through. And I got all certification through all of that towards the end of this year. And I really feel like I was in the right path. It was just that I was so much focused on one thing, I didn't really give him any space to do his work. I'm so grateful he gave me a second chance. So even though I'm 50, I supposed to know God's purpose. I can say any like strongly that I used to say that I knew, but I could say more open in a way, like I knew what's the direction, I know which way I need to go. God's shown me that direction. I am very much open to follow where I'm going. So I can be the God of all comforts. I can comfort other people just the way he did it to me. Thank you.
Thank you so much for opening up, for sharing with us. What would you say to someone out there that might not be as mentally healthy as they would like to be? Maybe mm-hmm. they're facing a specific challenge yeah. and are in a place maybe similar to where you were. Yeah. What advice would you give?
You know, I always knew, I mean, because I work with a lot of clients with severe mental illness, I knew what they were going through, but I didn't really know how hard it is to stay connected. How many times do we hear, you know, you are supposed to be connected. Are you supposed to reach out for help? I didn't really, you know, experience how hard it is. So even though it's really, really hard to do, find people that you really trust. You know, I'm so grateful my life group, Educators for Christ. Woohoo, where are they? I'm so, so, so grateful. I was able to reach them out, you know, ask for prayers. Pastor Jean, I ask for prayers and things like that. My families, my friends. Reach out, you know, stay connected. And especially because for my situation where other two situations like Vonda and Pastor Mitchell, like God was like, you know, they were clinging on to the God. But I couldn't, because that's the part of my struggle, mental illness, I get to suffering. So I couldn't. My connection was challenged in a way. If that happens to you, just like your branch, you're supposed to, as long as you're connected, just clinging on to that, even if it's so confusing, if it's so striking, so shocking, continue to struggle, do what you need to do, and you know, God will show you, because that's what I'm at. I don't know exactly 100% like where I'm going, but I know I'm in the right path. As long as you have certain direction, you'll be okay. God got you.
Amen. Can I ask you one more question before you?
I know
that's the question we planned to ask you, but I got an unplanned question for you. You moved into this new phase of life, and it really made you think about where you were at and what God had for you next. Yeah. Having come through and learned from that, what advice would you give to someone else entering into this new year, maybe entering into a new phase of life, of what they could do as they seek God for what's next?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I guess, you know, that's also what I struggle where I'm at. I mean, I went back to school. I got my PhD. That's actually specialized in spirituality and religion, how to integrate that in counseling. So I, you know, I always thought that I knew, kind of got it, not 100% obviously, but I got it. I know how to do it. But this whole challenge, it was really, really struggling. So I see myself 1 year old. I'm really 1 year old in a sense. And I would not expect for 1 year old to understand, you know, to walk, you know, talk. I wouldn't understand that. It really gives me a lot of comfort in that sense, because I turned 50. I'm turning into a new phase of my life. I would not expect myself spiritually, just like what I used to be, but I thought I knew how to connect with God. And I'm really exploring in a different kind of way, open, very much open. Of course, stay connecting with other people, serving people that I'm passionate about. It's really helpful. So I would say give yourself a lot of compassion, a lot of space, a lot of time, a lot of patience. Don't expect you to run a marathon or something like that. Expect you to start to like how to crawl. Hold on to things, you know, lift up yourself. I guess that's what I can say.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us and encouraging us. We praise God. Yeah, you're all set now. Thank you so much. Isn't it amazing to see how God works in different ways in different people? And God has been working in your life, too. I don't know if we always realize it, how much God is involved in our life, how much God loves us, how much God cares about us. But he does. And I want to give you just a moment right now to pause and reflect. Maybe think back about recent events in your life. Maybe think back about what God has done over this year. And if you were to have a conversation with someone today or tomorrow that said, what's God done in your life this year? What would you say? So I'm going to give you just a minute to reflect on that question. If somebody were to ask you, what did God do in your life this year? What would you say? Our God is a God that continually pursues those that don't know him and continually works to draw people closer to himself, those that do know him and those that don't. God might not always move at the speed we want. He might not always move in the way that we want, but he is moving. And I hope you can take hope and encouragement and even some faith from the stories that you just heard and say, I've seen God work in others' lives. God can work in your life that exact same way. Well, I shared a little bit about Gideon at the beginning and how he didn't see God. And you can go to Judges chapter 6 and read the full story of Gideon. I'm not going to share that with you now. But Gideon goes through this process where he doesn't really trust God. And God begins to reveal himself more and more. And he kind of tests God along the way. But towards the end of Gideon's story, there's this breakthrough that we see where Gideon trusts God. And in this story, Gideon is he's leading the people of Israel against this mighty Midianite army. And God has appointed him and set him aside to do this. And Gideon is trusting God for that. And he goes to scout out the enemy camp. And so he sneaks into the camp the night before. And he overhears people whispering, these two men from the Midianite army whispering. They're telling of a dream that one of them had. And the dream reveals that Gideon and the army of God is going to defeat them. With just 300 men, that Gideon and the army of God are going to defeat the Midianites. And this is what it says in Judges chapter 7, verse 15. It says, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretations, he bowed down and worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up, the Lord has given Midianites into our hands." You see, Gideon heard what God was going to do. At first, he had trouble remembering. I don't know if you remember the first passage I read at the beginning. He didn't really trust what God had done in the past, and now he's praising God for what he's going to do in the future. There had been this radical change in Gideon's life that where he could trust God and praise God before something happened. And as we enter into a new year, I want to tell you, God's going to move in the new year. God's already ahead of us in 2024. God's not bound by time. He's not stuck on our limits. God's been living in 2024 already. He's ready for us to join him in the future, to take a step into 2024. And Gideon didn't wait. He heard what God was going to do in the future, and immediately he praised God. I would have loved to have seen Gideon in that camp, surrounded by his enemies, praising God. I mean, I'm sure he was quiet in that moment, not wanting to give himself up. But it says when he returned to the camp of Israelites, he wasn't quiet. He yelled, "Get up. The Lord has given Midian, the camp of Midian into our hands." He praised God. He didn't wait for the circumstance to happen. He didn't wait to see God come through. He started praising immediately in the moment he was in for what God was going to do in the future. And I think that can be an encouragement to us as well. We don't got to wait to see what God's in the future. We know he's faithful. We know he's going to show up. And so we can praise him now for what he is going to do. Gideon not only praised God immediately in the presence of his enemies, he also went back to the camp. And he told the story of what was going to happen to the people that he knew best, the people that were in his camp with him. And so I want to encourage you to tell that story of what God's done in your life to the people that you know best, the people that surround you, that they can hear the faithfulness of God in your life, that they might praise the same God that you praise, that they might give glory to God for what he's going to do in their life as well. Because God wants to continue to move and work in your life. Share with your family. And if you know Jesus, your future is secure in him. And if you don't know him, there's no better day than today. John 3:16 is perhaps the most well-known Bible verse. It says, "For God so loved the world." God loves you. God cares for you. God cares about the details of your life. And he sent his only son. We just celebrated last week Christmas, right? He sent his son as a baby to live a perfect life, to walk on this earth, and to die a death and pay a penalty for our sins, a penalty we couldn't pay, a price that was paid that we couldn't afford, and yet he died for us so that we could live. And so if you're here today, if I were you, I wouldn't want to leave this building. I wouldn't want to close my computer or turn off my cell phone without knowing for sure that I had a relationship with Christ as I went through 2024. And so I want to give you an opportunity here in this moment, here today, to receive Christ. Once again, I think he's been pursuing you. I think if you look back at your life, the Bible says God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. We know that there's more to this life than just the physical that's around us. God's placed that in our hearts, and he's calling you even now. And I want to give you that opportunity, if you haven't accepted Christ, to pray and receive him even now. So if you'd just bow your heads with me for a moment, and maybe God's tugging on your hearts even now, and if that's you and you say, "Yes, I do, I want this free gift that Jesus offers to be forgiven of my sins, to come into a relationship with God, and to have a personal relationship with the God of the universe," you could pray something like this. "Father God, forgive me. I know I've fallen short of the mark that you've set. I've sinned. I accept the forgiveness extended by Christ and receive you. Come into my life now. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen." The Bible tells us that through God's grace, through an act of faith, we can receive Christ. And if you did that in this moment, angels are celebrating in heaven with you now. And we want to follow up with you. You can text 97,000 text Bridgeway to 97,000 and someone will follow up with you. But we don't want you to walk alone in this new year. We want you to step forward and to walk with God and with others into this new year. And I want to also encourage you that, as I said earlier, God isn't time bound. He's already ahead of you in 2024. There's no time limits on God. He's been there for some time now. And just like he'd won the victory before Gideon and his army marched on the Midianites, he's gone ahead of you and won the victory. So we don't need to wait to see what's going to happen in 2024. We don't need to enter 2024 in hesitancy or fear. But we can step into 2024 with the boldness and faith in God that he will provide for you. God has cared for the birds of the air and the flowers of the fields, and he'll care for you as well. He'll provide. He's gone before you. Can we take a moment on this last day of 2023 and just give God a hand clap of praise and celebrate God for all that he's done? I want to encourage you to come back this evening where there'll be a whole service dedicated to prayer and praise to celebrate God for what he's going to do, what he's done, and what he's going to do in the new year. But I just want to pause as I wrap up and pray now and just praise God for what he's done this past year, but also praise him for what we know he's going to do in the year to come. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we're so grateful for your faithfulness and for the stories we heard from Vonda and Dr. Taylor and Pastor Mitch. God, we're so grateful for the way that you worked in their lives, preserving their health and encouraging their spirits. And we know you've done that in our lives as well, God. I pray as we look forward to the new year, God, that we would have faith in you for what you're going to do. Faith in your good works, faith in the victory that you have ahead of us. We thank you for being a loving God that cares for us, that provides for us, and will never leave us. And we praise you now, knowing what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.